Well, I hope that you feel and can say honestly that this is a safe place for you. I hope you do sense the safety of this place. A place where you can pour out your heart before the Lord. Know that He hears every cry, no matter what state your heart is in. Because we don't live in a very safe place in this world. In fact, we've been hearing some pretty gloomy news. As you look around and hear and take in what's going on in the world around us, there's quite a bit to be disturbed about. There's quite a bit of uncertainty. Whether it's at a national level or maybe in your own personal life, it's not an easy time to live. There's a lot of stress these days. I sense it. I sense it in you. I sense it in the world around me. There's a lot of stress. The political world right now is in a bit of a hotbed right now. Election rhetoric is escalating. The challenges of our economy are at a crisis level. A $700 billion bailout has now become a rescue plan. Why? Because evidently there's a crisis. Everyone is experiencing a lot of changes in their portfolios, if you have such a thing. The war in Iraq and Afghanistan continues to be on the forefront of many minds. There are environmental issues. Whether it's global warming or whether it's shortages of fuel, there's lack of health care. All of these things are becoming very much prominent in the political and national discussions. I'm sure there isn't one of us in the room here who aren't feeling the squeeze of financial pressures, the rise in gas prices, the higher costs of food, the imminent college tuition now? There are those FPU goals that some of you are trying to reach. There are credit cards that you are feeling the weight of, and other kinds of things. Rising health costs, rising taxes, limited insurance for some, and just the constant pressure and barrage of materialism and consumerism that we live in that want us to spend more than what we are capable of spending. There's a financial pressure that we live in. There are serious health issues in our church family. Many of you are facing them directly, personally. If not you yourself, someone that you are caring for is confronted with serious health issues. And our hearts are burdened by these challenges that we face moment by moment. There are relational challenges. Whether it's in the immediate family with wayward children or discord between spouses, whether it's the challenges of a strained relationship with extended members of the family, those of us who have adopted children, there are new challenges for us in our families. There are tremendous stresses on our homes right now. And on top of all that, we have this overwhelming accessibility to the information about all the other needs in the world. Whether it's the serious food crisis that's going on in countries around the world, or HIV/AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa, or the lack of good, healthy health care in places of third world countries, or just simple hygiene and water accessibility, and all the tremendous realities of natural disasters like the hurricanes and earthquakes and all of these things that we are so exposed to every day. You read the newspaper, you look on the internet, you flip on CNN. There is a lot to be stressed about. So how should we respond to all this in our lives? And how does this fit into our study in the book of Acts? Well, before I attempt to answer those two questions, let me first express a couple of my concerns that I have. I'm concerned about our approach, about my approach to responding to this kind of stress, to this kind of heaviness, to this kind of context in which we live today. I'm concerned about two extremes that seem to rise to the surface in the midst of this stress and strain on our lives. And if we're not careful, we will gravitate to one degree or another to these two extremes. I find it so in myself. One response is to lash out, is to identify the forces that are opposed to whatever we desire to be the experience of our life, to identify the opposition and be energized about going to battle over this. Sort of like a cat getting backed up into a corner and the hair on the back of our necks rises and we begin to hiss. That's one way that we can respond to this kind of thing. We can become pretty aggressive over the things we think are the problem, often in a negative way, and leads us to push the blame on others. It's the Democrats' fault, or it's the Republicans' fault. So I'll do whatever I can to oppose those untrustworthy politicians. Or it's my spouse's fault, or it's my kid's fault, or the company's fault that I'm in this financial mess, and so we go on strike, or we strike, either literally or figuratively. Now the other extreme is that we might get so fed up with our apparent limitations to do anything about the problems that we begin to just withdraw or deny that these challenges even exist in the hopes that they will just simply go away. Please. I know I should have my blood checked, but that will reveal that my cholesterol count is probably too high, which would force me to have to change my habits and my diet. And frankly, I don't want to do that, so I'm just going to pretend it doesn't exist and not deal with it, hoping that it will just go away. So we just tend to deny its potential, the potential problem that exists, and rather than admit to the reality of it, we say, let's just hope it goes away. But in our heart of hearts, we know where that can lead. We can spin our wheels the rest of our lives and eventually end up debilitated or even depressed. Life gets drained out of us. And all the while we become, as we grow older and older, sour, pessimistic complainers. Because it doesn't just go away. So how should we respond? And how does this fit into with our study in the book of Acts? Well, I think the Bible has a pretty good way, a much better way to look at all this. And whatever trial, whatever tribulation, whatever circumstance you're in right now, that you're facing, that you feel the weight, I can read your body language right now. And there's a weightiness right now, because I've wanted you to feel that. I've wanted you to be reminded of it. It's no fun. This is not an experience that we look for, but it is an experience that we must address. We must say is reality. This is life. And we need to know how to respond to it. And I believe God wants to give you a fresh outlook before you go any further in your trial, in your circumstances, in your tribulation today that you're facing. Now, I know that I've been announcing in the bulletin for the past several weeks that we would be returning to the book of Acts. For a couple weeks, I've wanted to go back to Acts chapter 12, but I have to interject a sermon in here before we do so. But I do want you to see how it's connected, because it is. Because in Acts chapter 12, we get to see, and we'll look, hopefully, Lord willing, we'll look at this next week in detail. But we see how a man like Herod, King Herod, is used by God in the church to do some pretty horrible things that bring about some pretty amazing results. But what's happening in Acts chapter 12, right off the bat, in the first few verses, is that Herod gets the idea that he wants to behead James, the apostle, the brother of John. Not the one who wrote the book, James, but the other James. The one of the inner three circle with Jesus. And Herod lops off James' head. And that throws the church into a bit of stress. A bit of turmoil. A bit of uncomfortableness. And there's a guy who's there watching all of this. It's the other James. It's the half-brother of Jesus. Who rises in the setting of the early church, who has seen the stoning of Stephen, who has seen the dispersion of the people, the Jews, throughout the Mediterranean area, and he rises to the occasion to become one of the leaders in the early church, and he witnesses all of this, and God uses him to give them some advice. So we're going to go to the other James a moment this morning. And so, what he has to say about what do you do, how do you respond in the midst of strainful, stressful, heavy, difficult circumstances? And this is what he says. Count it all joy. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many different kinds. And this is the word I want you to hear today. In the midst of whatever trial you are facing, and in the midst of whatever stress that you are feeling, in the midst of whatever pressure you are sensing around the world, in the world around you. I know some of the sicknesses that you are facing. I know some of the trials you are working through. I understand and hear some of the relationships that you are dealing with. I know that finances are extremely tight for some of you. And I want you to hear these words today. Be joyful. Respond with joy. Embrace the path of gladness and not heaviness. unload the burden of gloom and consider your trial with joy. I'm really burdened with this today because I think that as the world continues to experience its downward spin and as people realize the emptiness of all that this world has propped up to be the source of satisfaction and happiness and joy, it's gonna come crumbling down, and they're gonna look around and they're gonna look and say, "Where is it? Where can I find it? Who has it? Where can I look to see somebody who's happy, who's glad in the midst of all of this?" And so I want us to be those people. Now, this is not just a choice that I'm talking about. Because I think there are times when we can say, you know, I'm going to choose to be joyful. I want to go beyond that. I want to go to that place where it's the spontaneous response. You know, where you have an experience and you are joyful about it. Wow! Isn't this great? There's happiness that should just come out of us. Right? Laughter is not something you can just say, okay, I want to laugh now, I'm going to laugh. Laughter, joyfulness, exuberance, excitement, passion of gladness is not just, it should be spontaneous. It should be an experience, a response that says, oh yeah, pure joy. And that's what James is saying. Count it pure joy. Consider it pure joy. All joy, brothers, sisters, in the midst of your trials, there's joy to be had. Now how? How? How can you do that? I think there needs to be a change of perspective. We gotta look at it completely different if we're going to respond to it completely differently. And I want to show you what James says for us, how to make that perspective so that the trials can be opportunities for joy. I want you to test this week, will you? Test the Word of God this week. Test it in your life. Take these truths. Put it in your heart. Put it in your mind. Make it the part of your thinking that this is the way you're going to look at the stuff that you're dealing with. When you go home and you sit down as a couple and you look at that budget sheet and you say, oh my goodness, things are tight. We need to look at this. Look at it and say, yeah. Yeah. We got a new opportunity. Let's rejoice over this. When you're faced with the challenges of parenting and that just stretch your abilities and your skills and you don't know how to respond, look at it like, cool. I got a new opportunity today. But you better have this perspective if you're going to be able to do that. You got to ingrain this. You got to write this on your heart. This has got to be your mentality if that is going to be the natural response that comes, that flows, that is just spontaneous, an outpouring of who you are. So here's what James has to say. Look at 2 through 4, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. no matter what the trial is that you're facing right now, whatever the pressure is that you feel, you have an opportunity to say, this is my time to pursue maturity. I have an opportunity to pursue growth. God is orchestrating this in my life to help me grow up. And I want to grow up. I'd be happy to be more mature in my life. Because that maturity helps me make wiser choices down the road. That maturity equips me to be what God wants me to be and do that I can't do right now because I'm not mature enough. And God's at work in my life. And I can be joyful over the fact that His intention is to bring about a sense of lacking in nothing. Could it be that I could have everything I need? And that God is at work in my life, committed to me, and He who began this good work in me has promised to bring about its completion even until the day of Christ Jesus. He is so committed to my maturity that He will use everything, for there's nothing that God does not use, for all things work together for my good, for those who are called according to His purposes, to bring me to the conformity of the image of His Son. And you know what? That should bring about joy in our lives. We should be happy about that. We have a God who's on our side. And He's standing always beside us saying, look, I can walk you through this. And even I have brought you to this place. And you know what? I have even created this stressful situation because I'm the sovereign God and nothing happens that I do not have control over for your purposes of making you happy. And the way you're going to get happy is by growing up. I'm helping you mature. You have an opportunity to pursue that maturity. Now, how do we do that? Well, James says, your posture is one of endurance, steadfastness, the testing of your faith. God is working in this situation to grow your faith that you can believe and trust that God, who is able, more than able, to accomplish whatever concerns me today. Isn't that what we just sang? Isn't that what we believe? We can endure. And let that steadfastness have its full effect. That it would bring about maturity. You know, that's that word, persevere, endure, steadfastness. The Greek word means to remain under. And really the picture of it is a person who is laden down with a load and is remaining under the load, under the weight of that, for the purpose of strengthening that person. You know what it means when you are lifting weights, the purpose of that, huh, guys? John, you lift the weights, you strain under it, you let it pressure you in order to strengthen you. And that's what God says He will do. He will bring about maturity, the ability to handle the stress and the strain of whatever experience you're going through by your enduring with steadfast faith in a God who is able to give you what you can't come up with on your own. So rejoice. Be joyful. The second thing that James says this provides is an opportunity for seeking wisdom. Look at verse 5. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For if any of you lacks wisdom, Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The stress and the strain that you're feeling right now, the challenge that you're facing, the trial that you're undergoing right now, is to bring about the reality that there are some weaknesses in your life, in my life, in our lives together. We don't understand. We don't have the ability. We have attitudes that that cause us to be short-sighted. We can't, as we're talking in the men's ABF time, we don't have the prudence and the discretion. We don't understand things. We haven't gone through these experiences before. Well, hello, that's right. God knows that, and that's why He's saying, seek my wisdom in the midst of this. And I am a God who will give it to you without reproach. God isn't up there saying, oh man, do we have to go over this again and again and again? What's up with you? That's not how God responds. He's not up there shaking his finger at you saying, I wish you would quit asking that question. What he is saying, there's no reproach, there's no rebuke. But God is saying, oh yes, hallelujah, they are getting it. They are understanding that they can't figure this out. They are coming to the place where they realize that conventional wisdom does not work. And what you have, what we have in these stressful situations, these trials that we're facing when we don't know what to do with her, him, it, we must go to God. We must go seek wisdom. We must ask Him, I don't know what to do. And it feels like the world is crushing in on me. And you have said that you will not give me more than I can handle. There's no temptation which I can, that you don't provide a way of escape. I need the way of escape, God. I'm looking to you for help. I need your wisdom. I don't know what to do with him. I don't know what to do with her. I don't know how to respond that would be the appropriate way to parent in this moment. I don't know what to do with this debt. It's heavy on me. Where can I find help, Lord? God says, I will not rebuke you. I will give generously to you wisdom. Thank you. Oh, good. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I'm happy. Because God wants to give me wisdom. I have reason to rejoice. Because there's a God up there who wants to give generously wisdom. And if I will respond in faith and trust what He says is really true, I don't have to be like people who are bouncing around in the sea, tossed to and fro without any sense of anchor or any sense of stability, no keel under me. Just bouncing around and tossed and battered by the storm that rages all around us. But instead, I can say, I've got a God who's given me, oh my goodness, look at all this wisdom. That I can know Him. That I can understand what life is really about. Which leads me to the third point that James makes for us. And the reason why we can be joyful in the circumstances we have, because these circumstances are an opportunity to clarify our priorities. Because frankly, some of us, all of us, our priorities are all screwed up. It's tough. It's tough in the midst of a strainful situation when the emotion is running high to really understand what is really important. It's really tough. It's hard to discern and to sift it all out when everything is right on the edge? It's interesting that James uses a financial example. Verse 9, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, because if you're a lowly brother, you can boast in your exaltation. And the rich man, he can boast in his humiliation. Because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Some trials in life have a way of bringing the important things in life back into perspective. Finances has a way of doing that. I think there's a lot of people out there today, I hope there are a lot of people out there today who are re-evaluating their priorities. You know, when WAMU stock goes completely belly up, and that's where you've put your faith, we need to rethink some priorities here. The fear of an uncertain future, whether it's financial or health or whatever, should cause us to rethink our priorities. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and let the rich man boast in his humiliation. Trials have a way of leveling the playing field, no matter where you're at financially. Those who are on the bottom, the lowly brother, can rejoice because there's an exaltation coming. There are riches in heaven that are set aside for us that far outshine anything we can find here. Rejoice! Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy. Recognize the reality that it's really hard for rich people to get into heaven. And when everything comes crashing down, oh rich man, rejoice in your humiliation. Because could it be that God is, by His mercy, unkind as it feels, bringing you into the perspective that, you know what, riches aren't going to get you there. So rejoice, exalt, boast in your humiliation. Because the trial that you're in is causing you to realize, you know what, all of this life that seems so important to me, it's like grass. And when the sun is really going to shine and beat down on it, this stuff is going to fade away. A doctor's prognosis has a tendency to clarify priorities. Those families that were at the Embarcy Ranch yesterday, they're going through some stuff, clarifying some priorities. And in the midst of it, God gives grace and clarity to show Him what is the priority. It's eternity, which is what James says in 1:12. Our trials are an opportunity for receiving an eternal reward. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. In the midst of your trial, rejoice, because you're being reminded that this world is not your home. Amen? Hallelujah? Isn't that reason to rejoice? Aren't we glad we're not stuck here? I mean, if this is it, I'd be gloomy too. This isn't it. But as we stand in this test, as we persevere, as we remain steadfast, we have the opportunity to receive an eternal reward. The priorities get clarified. The things of the world fade away. God gives us and shows us the wisdom that He has for us. And He's pointing us to maturity and perfection, that we might not lack anything. And in the day of judgment, when we stand before Him, the focus will be the eternal reward. Who is that eternal reward? It is Jesus. And so, your trial, your circumstance, your stressful situation, God is intending that to shape you to be like Jesus, so that when you stand in His presence, you can say, all I have is Jesus. He's my eternal reward. I get Jesus. That makes me happy. I'm growing in joy because these circumstances are pushing me in that direction. And I'm telling you this morning, if you this whole experience has to be a part of who you are. And the only way you can have this is if you get Jesus now. You got to have Jesus. You got to have Jesus to be joyful. This is the only way to be happy in life. You can't be happy if you don't have Jesus. Because in the end, through all of this, the lacking in nothing is because you have Jesus. The seeking of wisdom is because you have Jesus, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found. The priorities get all rearranged because you have Jesus. Because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And the eternal reward is Jesus. So if you're going to be joyful in the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of your stress and strain and difficulty and challenges, and you want to respond spontaneously with, yes, I get Jesus today, then embrace Him now. Embrace Him now. In this moment, right now, bow your heads with me, would you please? Surrender your heart right now to Jesus. Jesus wants to give you what you lack. He wants you to grow up to be like Him. Jesus wants to give you wisdom. He has all the wisdom in the world. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants you to see things as they really are, so that you can put first things first and have everything else added to its place, in its time, in its way. He wants you to have Him. And He wants you to put your faith in an eternal reward that supersedes all of this stuff that's going on all around us. And He wants you to have Him forever. And so I invite you in this moment, every one of you, surrender again to Jesus. Lord, give us Jesus today. His Spirit is here right now. His Spirit is moving in our hearts right now. Oh God, give us what we lack in maturity. Spirit of God, fill us with wisdom. Son of God, pour out Your Spirit that we might see what's really important. Spirit of God, affirm in our hearts that we have the eternal reward, Jesus Himself. And make us happy in You. Lord, I thank You for these, Your children. You know every one of their hearts. You are the great shepherd. And I pray, Almighty God, that these, Your sheep, would look to You and find You faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's rejoice in the faithfulness of God as we close together with the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Will you stand with me? You might want to sing it with a smile on your face.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, through thirsties I see. All Thy have been, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy
Okay, so here's your assignment this week. You need to go out there and look. He's got new mercies for you tomorrow. Morning by morning, there's new mercies for you to see. Go find them. He's got what you need. Strength for today. Hope for tomorrow. You got to go find it. And then you need to go share it with somebody else, because there's a whole ton of people out there, including in our own fellowship, who need to be reminded of the faithfulness of God. Blessings are yours. 10,000 upon 10,000 upon 10,000. An eternity of blessing. Father, bless, fill, provide, show us mercy. Demonstrate Your faithfulness. We're going to take up the challenge and go look for You this week with joy, because You've promised You're going to show it to us. For the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.